I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And we have the podcast Office Ladies. Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories and lots of laughs.
Follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Dear McDonald's, your breakfast menu? Fire. Tens across the board. I could be happy with anything, even though I order the same thing every time. Thanks for not judging me. I'll try something new next time. Maybe.
Score a 2 for $5 deal on a sausage McMuffin with egg and more. Limited time only. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer. Single item at regular price.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Thank you for calling the Bombas Comfort Line. Bombas make socks, slippers, tees, and underwear made with the highest quality materials. Press 1 for comfort, 2 for style, 3 for donation.
You chose style. Bombas has styles for whatever you enjoy. You can run in Bombas, lounge in Bombas, dress them up, dress them down, but always give back in Bombas. Because with every item purchased, another is donated. Bombas, comfort worth calling for. Go to bombas.com/audio and use code AUDIO for 20% off your first purchase. That's BOMBAS.com and use code AUDIO.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
It's time for...
Here we go.
Kickoff with Boomer Esiason and Mike Valenti.
Super Bowl 60 and the grand finale, year 4 of this program. Boomer, it's kickoff. What's going on, buddy? How you doing?
You know, Mike, always a sad day for me because it is our final program of the year. It's been a great year for all of us. Scones, Eddie Scazzeri, you, me. We love doing this show because we love the game of football. Now, interestingly enough, this game in particular, Super Bowl 60, I don't know about you guys out in Detroit, but us guys here back in New York just don't feel the love. We don't feel the juice. We don't feel the excitement. But what we have found out is that the offensive coordinator for the Seattle Seahawks will become the next head coach of the Las Vegas Raiders. They will draft Fernando Mendoza, which I think is a great start for them. And it just goes to show you that timing is everything in the NFL these days.
Yeah, look, we could spend a minute on that. I do have a Tom Brady thing for you. I love Clint Kubiak as a hire. I think it's a perfect guy. Let him pick his quarterback. Look, I know in years past, you know, you were high on certain quarterbacks. You start kind of turning your eye towards college a little bit now where you start looking at the draft. Have you had a chance to look at Mendoza? You know, do you think he'd be number one? This is a bad quarterback draft. Let's just be fair. What do you think of the kid?
Yeah, so like I said, timing is everything. I think if he were in another draft and maybe like a guy like Trevor Lawrence or Andrew Luck were in there, he was not going to go number one. But I got to tell you, I'm so impressed with the young man. I'm so impressed with his personal story, with his mom. I'm so impressed with how his teammates really respect him. You watch him on the field. He never complains to the officials. These are all the things that NFL scouts are looking at, as well as the other aspects of himself, being 6'5", 235 pounds. He's graduated with a finance degree from the University of California. I mean, so all of those things, all the measurables are there. The intangibles are that his teammates seem to love him. His coach loves him. And if it is Kubiak, which I believe it is going to be, it's the perfect coach pairing with the perfect quarterback because it's kind of the offense that he ran in Indiana. So he is clearing away the number one quarterback. And just by virtue of listening to his Heisman speech, watching his post-game interviews after they won the national championship, I don't see how he does not go number one. It would be idiotic if the Raiders passed on him.
All right, so we start our Super Bowl coverage. I got to ask you about Tom Brady because I just – why can't we just be a human being, Tom? You know, I gave him credit for the pizza ad. I go, all right, look, Tom Brady laughing at himself. Tom Brady saying he's got no dog in the fight. Tom, booby, baby, you played for the Pats. You are the Patriots. It's okay to just say, come on, guys, it's no secret, like, where my heart will be, but I'm going to call the game straight up. What do you mean you got no dog in a fight? Boomer, come on.
I would understand if he were doing the game. I'm with you. If he were doing the game, he has to be objective, and I think the Seattle fan would be very upset if he weren't objective. So he's not doing the game. So therefore, His former teammate just won Coach of the Year. His former offensive coordinator just won offensive coordinator or assistant coach of the year on the offensive side of the ball. He's got Bob Kraft, who's given him all this money over the 20 or 19 years he played there. Six Super Bowls, what, nine appearances, whatever it was. I mean, you would think that all of us would totally understand that he would be rooting for an ex-teammate, an ex-team that he played for, and got a lot of memories from there. Why he's acting this way is beyond me. I have no idea why.
It's an annoyance is what it is. All right, let's get to the game. So it's Seattle. Hey, the time we sit down to do this show, the line has been 4.5 all week. It's 4.5 right now. Your over-under's 46.5. You highlighted one thing I do want to hit on to start. And I'm not trying to bleep in the punch bowl here. But this does feel weird. I don't know if it's because we're both, you know, Northeast, Midwest guys. It's cold. It's winter. We're all miserable. But this game does not feel Super Bowl-ish. There's something missing here, and I can't figure it out. I just generally thought it's because I'm a curmudgeon.
Well, I would tell you it's missing something called Josh Allen or Patrick Mahomes or Matthew Stafford. It's really about the quarterbacks. Quarterbacks, in this case, one is young, 2 years in, and Drake May. And the other one is kind of a rebound guy who everybody, I think, in America would be rooting for simply because of his story and the way that he's handled himself this week out there in Santa Clara. So there's really no buzz. There's no major buzz because I don't necessarily know that, you know, these are the teams that anybody expected to be in the Super Bowl. So without Tom Brady being the quarterback, it loses a lot of juice from the Patriots side. And because it's the Seahawks and Sam Darnold, I don't think there's a lot of excitement around that, unless, of course, you're a fan of one of these two teams. But it just shows that the ticket prices are where they are. The secondary market has not exploded by any stretch of the imagination. So, yeah, there's a little less juice associated with this Super Bowl, but nonetheless, we'll all be watching on Sunday, that's for sure.
You know, it's crazy you mentioned it. We were talking yesterday on my show on 97.1 in Detroit. You know, it's 20 years since the Super Bowl was in Detroit. And you mentioned the ticket prices. It's crazy. It's 10x in 20 years. Super Bowl tickets, when it was Pittsburgh and Seattle here in the Motor City, and it was a hot ticket. Remember, Pittsburgh, they travel. About $600 a ticket. Now you're north of 6,000.
Yeah, it's crazy.
I mean, that's jarring in 20 years.
Well, and it also goes to show you that the average fan can't afford that, you know, and maybe that's part of the reason why, you know, this Super Bowl just doesn't feel like it has that juice. Most of this is corporate, you know, it's all corporate support around the NFL, their sponsors, their TV partners, they're bringing their corporate partners. So a lot of this, I would say probably 3/4 of the stadium has something to do with other than the actual two teams playing in it.
Yeah. As far as the game, you know, you brought up the quarterbacks. I'm nervous about both QBs. No ginger slander. I'm nervous about both. I mean, Sam Darnold did lead the league in turnovers. And then you have Drake May, who's young and facing a ruthless defense. And his offensive line has been subpar at best. I wonder, is this a game where we see both quarterbacks turn it over?
I can see both quarterbacks struggling for sure because this is the number one and two defenses in the postseason and also top five defenses in the regular season when it comes to scoring. So yeah. The Patriots offense has only averaged 18 points in the postseason. So Drake May is going to have to be on against this Seattle defense. The problem is the left side of the offensive line for the Patriots are two young kids, you know, and they've really struggled in this postseason run against top-end defenses. Now, if the Patriots are able to win this game, they'll have played the best defenses in football 1 through 5, and they have come through by winning games. But it has been a slugfest, to say the least. And, you know, both teams are really good at stopping the run, and both teams want to run the ball first before throwing it. So that leads me to believe that it's going to be a low-scoring game, and I would think it's going to be a grind pretty much for 4 quarters.
Yeah, like I'll give an example is I have a hard time, and I know there's a – I mean, look, you have opinions about football and games that aren't going to be played for a few days. You're going to look stupid, okay? But, like, for me, I struggle to see the Patriots scoring more than 17 points in this game. So, like, as we pathway this, do it this way. Whose running game do you like better? Against the opposition, who will have more success running the ball, Seattle or New England?
I think New England because they have two running backs that are healthy, and Travion Henderson didn't really play in the AFC Championship game. I only think he saw four carries. That was Ramondre Stevenson's game as he was on the field for 64 out of 68 plays. But I do think having two running backs is better than having just one. Now, Seattle coming into this, into the playoffs, had two running backs. They lose Charbonnet, and now it's all Kenneth Walker. Now, Kenneth Walker is a great player. Don't get me wrong. But I do think that the Patriots' defense, their run defense, has been spectacular in the playoffs, and I would suspect that it's going to be the same here.
Okay, so flip the script. Whose passing game do you like better?
Well, Jackson Smith and Jigba is amazing. He is the best athlete on the field. He was rewarded with Offensive Player of the Year at the NFL Honors Dinner. I would just say that he is explosive as they come in the NFL. They'll find a way to get him the ball. And the question for me will be, will New England have Christian Gonzalez follow him on the field? And if they do, then it's going to be up to Clint Kubiak to find ways to get him open. And it's one of the reasons why I think the Raiders really want Kubiak as their head coach, because, you know, he'll stick with the run, but he'll find ways to get Jackson Smith and Jigba open. So to me, the passing game, I think I have to lean towards the explosiveness of both Sam Darnold and JSN.
So there's two guys that to me can be that X factor, and they're kind of the same player. Shaheed for Seattle and Booty for New England. And it's this idea of exactly what you're talking about. Look, Shaheed is not a guy who catches in volume. We know about his special teams prowess, but as far as a receiver, he's just not catching many passes. All it takes is one. A couple of years ago, you saw it. You needed one big play, and Kadarius Toney provided it, of all people, for the Chiefs. So it's this idea of which deep shot guy. They're both a DeSean Jackson-type receiver. You know one of them is going to make a play. And I've got something for you later in the show. I did a nonsense parlay that I designed for everybody.
Oh, so well, that's nice. I look forward to your parlay.
We'll get to it. We'll get to it.
All right.
If it hits, you're going to be happy. It pays 95-1. But do you agree with me, though? You're going to have to take some vertical shots because it's going to be hard to go 10, 12, 14 plays down the field for both sides.
That's exactly right. And, you know, this is what coaches want. They want their quarterbacks to throw the ball down the field. They don't want them holding it, which Drake May has done a little bit more than Sam Darnold. You know, you talk about the turnovers for Sam Darnold. He's been kind of clean through the postseason. He's been really good, and he's been really explosive. The thing about Drake May in these games is he's been holding on to the ball. And the one thing you don't want to do against the Seattle defense, like he's learned against Denver and, of course, against Houston and the Chargers for that matter, you can't hold on to the ball. You just can't, and you can't turn it over. So I would think that Josh McDaniels, who's been down this road before with a young quarterback and won against a team that nobody thought that they could beat, the Rams back in 2001, you know, get the ball out quickly, wide receiver screens, tight end delays, things like that, and then all of a sudden, play action pass, block them up, and throw the ball down the field to Booty. So, or to you know, or to Steph Diggs, who, you know, has a penchant for making big plays in big games. So there is a good passing game there for the Patriots. We just haven't seen it throughout the playoffs.
So five storylines in 5 minutes. You ready? You tell me which one of these interests you the most, okay? One, Vrabel in history. If the Patriots win, he's the first coach to win a Super Bowl as a player and coach of the same team.
I think it's an amazing storyline. I think it's a great storyline, and I think it's a storyline that Tom Brady, his former teammate, should be rooting for.
Okay. Oh, boy, you're not letting that one go. Number two, the QB journey. You got Drake May trying to be the youngest QB ever to win a Super Bowl, and then Sam Darnold and the redemption arc. I know it lacks pedigree, but both of these guys have a really interesting story.
All right, so does Drake May become Boomer Esiason and Dan Marino, going to the Super Bowl young in their careers and never going back again? So never take it for granted. I don't think he will. He's not that kind of kid. But for me, in this particular story arc, the Sam Darnold story arc is amazing. I, you know, as a guy who covered him here when he was the Jets quarterback at the age of 20, I have to say that I am rooting for him to have a huge game. I would love to see him kind of recreate the game that he had against the Rams in the NFC Championship game. I don't know if he can do that against this defense.
That was the game of his life, Boomer.
I just don't want him to lose the game at the end with an interception or a sack fumble. I just don't want that to happen to this young man. It shouldn't happen to this young man.
Storyline three, defense is back. McDonald, Vrabel, defensive minds, defensive guys, two defensive units, including Seattle, who no one pressured QBs more. Nobody's hit QBs more. A reminder, defense can still win in this league.
I think it's great. I think it's great for the game. I know the game is always about offense. Most of the penalties are called against the defense. Ruins the game, gives the quarterbacks and the offensive players even more opportunities to put up a lot of points. I like the fact that this is a defensive-oriented game and that both of these teams do have, like I said, the top two scoring defenses in football. So that's why I tend to think it's going to be a slugfest, maybe until we get to the fourth quarter. And then once we get into the fourth quarter, maybe we'll start seeing some things loosen up a little bit. Maybe we see a penalty that gives a team a big a yardage gain and a first down, or maybe gives them goal to goal on the one-yard line, something like that. But I love the fact there is a defensive kind of feel to this type of Super Bowl.
All right, super rematch. 11 years ago, Malcolm Butler, one of the wildest endings, just give the ball to Marshawn Lynch, nope, interception, you lose. The rematch, where does that rank for you as a storyline?
Doesn't do anything for me at all. Okay. You know, I'm so sick and tired of hearing about the give the ball to Marshawn Lynch against the goal line defense of the Patriots, which was what they had on the field. And when you listen to Matt Patricia explain that whole sequence of events and how it unfolded and what the Patriots ended up doing in terms of getting Malcolm Butler that interception, you understand why Seattle threw the ball there. So I'm sick and tired of the story. I did the game. I thought it was an exciting game. It was an unbelievable way to end the game. And I can only hope that these two teams get us to a point in this game in the fourth quarter so the game can end on something like that where we can discuss it for 3 weeks on end.
All right, last of the storylines. And we both appreciate the rich history of the league. We're both nerds. Patriot legacy, history, going for number 7 and the all-time mark. They are back. They've played in 20% of all Super Bowls. I mean, it's ridiculous, but here they are. The legacy of the Patriots and the post Tom Brady and making history.
I think it's fascinating because we love the league, we love the history of the league, and it just reminds me that Robert Kraft should be in the Hall of Fame. I mean, because all of this has been done under his stewardship of taking over a team that he was a fan of when he was a kid. So I like history. If they do win and they do accomplish what you were just talking about, I think it's an amazing accomplishment and something that I can truly respect.
All right, we're going to have some fun. We've got some Super Bowl memories, best and worst editions. We are going to go inside the lifestyle of two men with pot fillers and find out their luxurious menus for Super Bowl Sunday as we talk to Boomer and Scones. And we've got parlay madness. We've got prop bet madness. I've got fast facts to make you the star of your party. Kick back, relax, we got you covered. This is Kickoff with Boomer and Valeni.
Okay, does this happen to anybody else? You sit down with a juicy QPC, some McNuggets, and those golden fries from McDonald's. Then you take a long sip of your Sprite because you can still hear your mama saying, "Don't fill up on that drink before you eat your food." But you're grown now, so you do what you want.
Share and share alike with the 20-piece McNuggets from McDonald's for just $6. Limited time only. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for Murders That Defy Explanation, Mystery Seeking Exploration, and Shocking Secrets That Will Leave You Breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops. And neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Kickoff with Boomer and Valenti.
We are back. So we're going to have some fun. I want to talk, you know, Boomer and I talked about history. We love the history in the Super Bowl. It is. It's nostalgia. For me, certain games mean more than others. But we all sit and we're ready to watch these games. And there are games that are like, wow, I can't believe that was real. Then there's other games where you're like, wait, I waited all year to watch that garbage. So I wanted to give you some of my best and worst Super Bowls. And Boomer, Scones, you guys feel free. I'm sure yours might be different. But I'll give you an example. The worst Super Bowl for me would be Super Bowl 35. Not just because the Giants got dusted, but I surprised my dad by driving home from college.
Oh.
So I got out of class, Boomer, I got out of class at like 4:30 on a Friday. I drove straight through to New York, all the way from Michigan, and I surprised my dad. I damn near gave him a heart attack, and we were going to watch the game together, And Kerry Collins decided, yeah, I'm not. We're just not doing this today. Giants get bombed 35-7. Absolute depression. The other one that was just beyond dreadful to me was Broncos Seahawks at MetLife.
Yep.
2004, 43-8. And this was pre bolts in the neck, Peyton Manning. Remember, this was the year he set all the records. He won the Super Bowl when he was Frankenstein. That game was done. Over, finito, 4 minutes in.
The one thing I will say about that game, too bad it wasn't played the next day when we had the huge snowfall here in New York. If you remember, I think we had like a foot of snow that hit on the day after that Super Bowl. That snow, if it would have been the day of the Super Bowl, I think it would have made the game a little bit closer. That Seahawk defense was amazing. All right, Brian, so it's your turn. What are your two worst?
I agree with Mike on those two. Also, I got to throw in, from a personal standpoint, I got to throw in the Buccaneers-Raiders Super Bowl 37 as well. I was in a pool. My numbers were 1-1. The score was 41-21, and Rich Gannon decides to throw a 10-yard out in the hands of Brian Jackson. I believe it was Brian Jackson, who took it the distance to make it 48-21. And I lost out on about 10 grand there. So that one sticks in my mind.
Oh, man.
Yeah, that one sticks in my mind pretty damn hard right there. But, yes, the Giants Super Bowl. But forget Kerry Collins. The point in that game that changed everything was Keith Hamilton getting called for a hold, a defensive hold. On the Jesse Armstead interception, taken back to the house. It got called back. That changed that whole game in that Giant Ravens Super Bowl.
All right. Keith Hamilton, I was fortunate enough to
top haircut.
Yes.
Amazing.
I was fortunate enough to play in one Super Bowl, which turned out to be a bad memory, but although it's a good memory, that was Super Bowl 23 because I got a chance to participate in it. And who would have ever thought a kid from East Islip, Long Island, who had one college scholarship offer, and when he got to college, he was 11th string on the depth chart, was able to turn that into a Super Bowl appearance with the Cincinnati Bengals back in 1988.
Wait a second. You were carrying 11 quarterbacks at Maryland?
Yeah, we had 110 guys on the squad.
Oh, my God. 11?
Yes.
Hold on. Now, are you like Amon-Ra St. Brown? You remember every receiver taken ahead of you? Can you name the other 10 guys who are ahead of you on the depth chart?
I can probably name about six of them. But that's about it. Nobody really cares.
No, so, I just wanted to see. That's
so
all.
So good and bad memory from Super Bowl 23, of course. And then, you know, doing all these games over the years, you know, that 2000 Giants-Ravens Super Bowl was awful because the Giants couldn't keep up with that Ravens and that Ravens defense. And that Super Bowl at MetLife Stadium that we just talked about. I agree with you guys because that Seahawk defense was smothering. And the first snap of Peyton Manning, I think it was the first or the second snap, went over his head. And when that happened, I said, you know what? The Broncos are a little bit taken aback about how good this Seahawk defense was. So those two games were the worst for me as an analyst. Now, the best two games that I thought as an analyst that I had is Pittsburgh and Arizona.
Yes, 43.
Oh, the interception by James Harrison was incredible. The return of 100 yards of a Kurt Warner interception. And the time was running down, and I remember I was doing the game with Marv Albert, and I was thinking to myself, you know, if he doesn't score, it's not like this doesn't mean anything because he kept Arizona off the board. But if he doesn't score, he ran a long way for no other reason other than to just run a long way. But when he did score that touchdown, I thought that was amazing. Then the San Antonio Holmes at the end of the game, that catch in the back of the end zone, the throw by Ben Roethlisberger was amazing. And then the other one for me, I got to say – it would be the Giants beating the undefeated Patriots. And the helmet catch by David Tyree was nothing short of remarkable. And then the Plaxico Burress game-winning catch, you know, just it just goes to show you that you just never know who's going to win these games. And that's why the underdog over the last 3 years has actually won these games in the Super Bowl.
I give you two because you covered one of them. I love 43. I love the Eagles-Pat Super Bowl, the Nick Foles mania game. I mean, it just, what was it, 52, I believe. But I loved seeing the Patriots get taken apart. There was 1,000 yards in the game, 41-33, the Philly special, the whole thing.
No punts.
No, this was a Big 12 football game between Texas Tech and Oklahoma State. And then number one for me, I just have really fond memories of being a kid, was Super Bowl 25, Whitney Houston's national anthem, Norwood, wide right, the Giants with, you know, a 13-minute drive, Parcells in the sweater, 20-19 over the Bills. And fun fact, I got kicked out of the living room by my father in the second quarter of that game for being overly critical of the Giants' play calling at age 10. I was invited back for the fourth quarter, and I still to this day tell my dad, my presence back in the room for the fourth quarter powered that Giants.
How old were you when this was going on?
I was 10.
Oh, Jesus. That explains a lot, doesn't it, guys?
I got jettisoned. I got jettisoned to the back room.
Get out of here.
I'm dead serious. My right hand to God.
That's an awesome story.
Those are my best two. Just go ahead. Give it. So, Boomer, obviously, 43 for you. Scones, best Super Bowl memory ever for you.
I agree with 25. My first recollection of a Super Bowl was that game, Norwood wide right. So I agree with 25. I also got to throw in the Atlanta Patriot Super Bowl, one of the greatest comebacks of all time in a football game ever, and it just so happened to be in the Super Bowl. I lost money. I had Atlanta, but I still think that's one of the best Super Bowls I've ever seen.
Yeah. Now, the thing about that, Atlanta was so dominant that the game wasn't great. And I remember doing this game as an analyst. I think this one was with Kevin Harlan. And it wasn't until the Patriots started that unbelievable comeback and the great catch, I think, by there was Julian a Julio Jones catch on the sideline that was right in front of us. I one of the greatest catches I've ever seen. And then all of a sudden the Julian Edelman catch, where somehow between two Falcon players, he's able to keep that ball from hitting the ground. And obviously they had to replay it. And that was the game that actually I thought really gave the Patriots momentum to come back in that game.
The thing that killed me, Shanahan got too cute. We don't need to sequence the whole thing. Run the ball. That's it. It's a math equation. They got cute a couple of times late, Boomer. And I know they're already in collapse mode. If you run the ball, they still get out of there. That was one of those malpractices. We weren't doing the show back then. My head exploded watching that game. All right.
Real quick, Mike, honorable mention. I got to throw this in there. Titans Rams, 99-2000 Super Bowl. Kevin Dyson stopped by Mike Jones at the one.
I have to say, I did that game on TV with Al Michaels. So Al really blew that play up. Like, wow, this is unbelievable. I never thought that Kevin Dyson had a chance because Mike Jones was right there. And it really comes down to a missed tackle or a made tackle. And Mike Jones was right there on top of Dyson. So I never really felt that it was as close as we made it sound. But certainly, you know, the Titans deserve a lot of credit for coming back in that game in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, and that was the year, too. That was the greatest show on turf. But the Rams, I think they led the league in forced turnovers. They were like the Bears this year. That's the only way they got stops that year. Didn't Jones lead the league in interceptions for a linebacker? Or am I
some crazy stat? The other thing too, they always would burn timeouts. The Rams were burning timeouts before the game even started. They took two timeouts because they were late out of the locker room. I mean, that's how like loose they were on offense. But they are also that's how great they were in offense. They overcame the loss of those timeouts in so many critical situations.
Yeah, and again, if you wanted to go 2024, with Chiefs, Niners, overtime, you could go that route too. But look, there's a lot. There have been a lot of great Super Bowls. It's funny, Boomer, I just pulled up a photo. You're right in that it's not as close as nostalgia paints it to be. Yeah. Like, I'm looking at Dyson stretch the ball out, and I'm like, buddy, it never got inside the one. And I know it, looks dramatic in real time, but then you still photo it, and you're like, oh, yeah, really wasn't that close.
No, I have to say, working with Al Michaels, he did a great job. He was treating it as if it was like the 1980, hockey team that beat the Russians. And as a former player who was 2 years off the field, I was like, this is not even close. Like, I just felt like such a, I didn't want the game to end on a play like that, but he made it sound a little bit closer than it really was.
So give me Sunday. We're all going to settle in and watch this thing. I have no idea. Boomer, are you throwing a great Gadsby gala event or Scones? Are you going to watch this alone? But what is the menu for the Super Bowl? Give me the thing you got to have.
For me, I have over 20 people coming to the house, including the kids, and we're catering. I got dry rub wings coming. I have pasta purses coming. I have two heroes coming. I have pigs in a blanket, chips, the whole nine. So, and I have a couple of Pats fans coming to the house as well, so it'll be fun.
You know, since I have to work the next morning, I don't do parties. I got to watch the game. I got to pay attention to the game. I don't want to be distracted by somebody asking me about the game or asking me about the new Jet offensive coordinator or whatever else. So I'll probably most likely start the first half with my grandkids and then get away from that and then just watch the final two quarters by myself just to make sure that I know exactly what's going on, all the situations, and paying attention to what the coaches are doing. Hopefully the game is close.
What's the menu? What are you fasting?
Oh, I don't know. That's up to my daughter. I have no idea.
So hold on. Boom Pod doesn't get a say in the menu here?
Well, you know what? I don't have to have a say because she knows. She does a great job. She will exactly have something that Boom Pod will like. I promise you.
All right. I'm just surprised. Yeah. I was surprised because we had it on sportsbooks here. I checked with Scones, too. You were minus 550 to cater this deal on Sunday.
You know what? I paid for enough money. Okay. People start paying me.
I give you the one thing, and I don't know if this resonates, Scones, but it was a childhood tradition, and all the way back to 25, and I still wasn't allowed in the living room. I could go into the dining room to get food, but I had to go back to the back room. I was jettisoned for negativity. Stromboli, or garbage bread. It depends where you were raised, what you call it. That's a family tradition for
all
us.
All right.
That's one. You make it. Ain't nobody out here making it. Hey, you got to make that in your kitchen. Now, I'm sure back east, you dial up a spot, everyone will have a Stromboli guy. But that's one, and it's just nostalgia, Boomer. It's not anything I have any other time of year.
I have pinwheels coming, Mike.
Okay.
So I got the pepperoni sausage, mozzarella in a pinwheel coming.
My man. Listen, it's better than Boomer. The guy's eating alfalfa sprouts over there, whatever the hell's going on.
No. She's not that way. She'll take good care of me. I'm not worried about
that. Okay. Let me offer you just some fast facts. Now, Boomer doesn't need these because he's going to watch this in solitude, serenity now. But like for Scones, who's going to be the belle of the ball with 20 guests, I got a couple fast facts because it'll make you be the smartest guy in the room. One, the Patriots have played in 20% of all Super Bowls with their 12th appearance. But here's what's incredible. This is why I hate Patriot fans. 10 appearances since 2000. 10. My God, jeez. Two, Patriots, first team to make the Super Bowl, having lost 13 games the year prior. We always see worst to first. You see teams who didn't make the playoffs make the Super Bowl, both of which here, by the way. But a team to lose 13 games to then find their way. I know, they only played one team with a winning record. I know, the path to get there was easy. You still got to win the games, and I hate to break it to people. This isn't a finished product. The Patriots are only going to get better. Three, 10th Super Bowl rematch. The winner of the first game is 6-3 on the return engagement. Now, I know Boomer doesn't want to hear about Seattle, New England. We'll move on. But this is the first Super Bowl since the 1970 merger where both teams are top four in regular season scoring offense and defense. Which one of those excites you the most?
Well, for me, it's the last one because top four in scoring O and D, it usually tells me it's going to be a defensive slugfest. That's just the way it is. You know, the defense can, make a mistake and still make a big play. The offense, one blown assignment, and next thing you know, the ball's on the ground and the ball's turned over. So I don't think the offense for the Patriots has been that good in the postseason. However, I will say that the Seahawks offense, their last time out against the Rams, really showed me something. So for me, that's the thing I look at.
All right. We got props. We got parlays. We got picks. Scones, add pinwheels to the list. Save me a few, will you, please? We'll give you the picks coming up next. This is Kickoff with Boomer and Valenti.
It's Kickoff with Boomer and Valenti.
All right. This is going to be a good time now. No pinwheels, but we're getting props, parlays, and picks. Also, shout out our noted fashionista, Eddie Scazzeri, telling us this will be the first Super Bowl where both teams are monochromatic. Same color, head to toe. Nice job by Eddie. Scones, you have got props galore. Let's run through these, have some fun, see if Boomer or I can find any we like.
How We Made Your Mother is a rewatch podcast that looks back episode by episode at the hit TV show How I Met Your Mother. It's hosted by me, Josh Radner, along with series co-creator Craig Thomas.
In seasons 1 and 2, we were joined by Neil Patrick Harris, Kobe Smulders, Bryan Cranston, Ashley Williams, Wayne Brady, Jenna Fisher and Angela Kinsey, Joe Manganiello, and my brilliant co-creator Carter Bays. And now we are diving into season 3.
So whether it's your 50th rewatch or your first time through, follow How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
It's prop heaven when it comes to Super Bowl. So, guys, I'm going to start with the most obvious one, your Super Bowl MVP. I only put the two quarterbacks up because it's normally a quarterback 95% of the time. Feel free if you don't think it is. Sam Darnold plus 120, Drake May plus 240. Who do you got?
Wow. You know, I'm just going to go. I would go with Sam Darnold because I think that their offense is a little bit more explosive than the Patriots have been through the playoffs. The other one I would put on here, I would put on Kenneth Walker. I mean, if he has a great game and he is the impetus as to why Sam Darnold's able to put up some good numbers, I think Kenneth Walker should probably be on here as well.
Well, this season has taught me that sports really is just pain. So Sam Darnold, a ginger, is going to win the MVP. It's Sam Darnold's world, and we all just live in it.
JSN plus 500, Kenneth Walker plus 850. So there you go.
Wow. Wow. I think if you – it's kind of like when Tiger Woods versus the field in the Masters. I think you can make a bet, Brian, where it's non-QB and you get them all. It's like plus 220.
Wow. How about Ramondre Stevenson for the Patriots?
Plus 2,800.
Yeah, you know, he's another one. Mary. He's another one that if this is a slugfest and like we think it's going to be, both of these running backs should have over 20, 25 carries, somewhere in that number, I would think. And it's going to be, you know, one of those guys will be the game-winning touchdown scorer. That's the way I would look at it.
Last one, well, next one on the list of any significance is Rashid Shaheed at plus 3,000. All right, rushing props. Okay, brings us to the running backs. Kenneth Walker, over 73 yards, minus 110. Ramondre Stevenson, over 51 yards, minus 113. Drake May, over 40, plus 103. Sam Darnold, over 6, minus 116.
Good, Mike.
I like Drake May. Value. I mean, it's plus odds. I personally think they're going to have to throw it more. And the way I look at the game, too, I don't want to give away my pick, but I think New England's going to be behind. His legs have to be the weapon because he's going to take pressure. He's going to have to get out of the pocket. I actually don't mind Drake May over to 40 rushing yards.
I would take that as well, and I'd also take Ramondre Stevenson over 51. And even though it's a minus bet, it's still, I think that's going to happen.
No Darnold over 6?
I can't. Watching him run is painful. I can't. Please. I've already given him the MVP. No more.
Plus, that's a minus number, so I'm not going to go for that anyway.
Right, true. It's not economical. Yes. All right, passing props. Here we go. Sam Darnold over 240 yards. Drake May over 230 yards. Sam Darnold at plus 111. Drake May at plus 110.
I like both of these. And I like what Mike was saying about maybe the Patriots are down in the fourth quarter. They'll have to throw, and I think that will add to the yardage total for Drake May. And I do think Sam Darnold, like I said, again, too many big plays that are gonna happen for Seattle. I just know they are. I just feel like it. I feel like the way that they've been playing offense. So I actually like both of these bets.
I'll say this, and I know, Brian, you don't have – I want to just make sure. I don't want to be accusatory here. You don't have any time touchdowns on here, but we're talking about passing. And let me give you someone who's got some value. And I think there's a sneaky angle for an anytime TD from Sam Darnold's way. A.J. Barner, tight end. He's now their tush-push guy. He's got 12 carries on the tush-push. Darnold's only got 5. And Barner has really blossomed into a good tight end. We talk about Christian Gonzalez. We talk about Carlton Davis. This guy has an opportunity to have a really nice game. Plus 250, A.J. Barner, anytime TD.
All right, passing TDs. Sam Darnold over 2, minus 122. Drake May over 2, plus 122.
Wow.
Darnold. Yeah. It's Darnold's world. We're just living in it.
Yeah, I guess minus 122, though. It's not something that's crazy. I mean, I could see that happening, but I wouldn't waste my time with it.
Fair. Now, I'm just, of those two, it would be Darnold. But I'm with you. I mean, 22 cents on the dollar. Come on.
No.
Now, if you have people who are building parlays out, no stress.
Now, I got a parlay for you if you want that.
Yes.
Well, I got Drake May, one or more TD pass. Sam Darnold, one or more TD pass. Kenneth Walker, 80 yards, alternate rushing and receiving yards. Ramondre Stevenson, anytime TD scorer. JSN, at least 8 receptions or anytime TD scorer. And Drake May, over 200 alternate passing yards.
That's a large one.
That's my good big God. One right there, baby.
What's that pay?
I don't know.
It's got to pay a lot. Jesus. We didn't check it out, but it's got to be a lot.
Hey, play the Boomer Parlay. The payout is a lot. I have a payout for mine later in the segment.
Well, I wanted to give you six different ones. So
get this guy on an abacus, and yes, let's figure the total out. Go ahead, Brian.
Receiving yards, JSN over 100 plus 102. Diggs over 46 minus 109. I threw Hunter Henry in there over 40 minus 114. And Cooper Kupp over 34 minus 111.
I like Diggs. I really just think he's going to have to go to Diggs. Booty, who I've got a non-correlated prop for you later. He doesn't catch a lot of passes. I could see Diggs catching 6-7 balls for 52 yards. Like, short stuff, try to move the chains, number one receiver stuff. To me, it would be him over 46.
Yeah, I also like the Cooper Kupp bet. And the only reason I say this, because I do think JSN's going to get the ball thrown to him a lot. Of course, I would do that. But I also think from a defensive perspective, you're going to try to limit the amount of yards JSN is going to have here. So, you know, I could see Cooper Kupp being the secondary receiver for sure.
All right, receptions. So you think JSN's going to get thrown to a lot. His over-under is 8 at plus 117.
Oof. Over.
Diggs.
Over.
Diggs over 5, 125. Hunter Henry over 4, minus 137. Cooper Kupp over 4, plus 126. This is the one I like because I agree with Boomer how the Patriots are going to have to throw the football, and I think they're going to check down to Stevenson a lot. Over 4 receptions, plus 132, plus your plus money there. And Kenneth Walker over 3, minus 131.
Want a sneaky one?
Sure.
And again, he doesn't
catch. A.J. Barner.
No. You know, I love I got creative. I get my balls broken here. Hold on. What about Travion Henderson over 4.5 receiving yards? He doesn't catch a lot of passes. What are the Patriots going to have to do to neutralize that pass?
Screens.
Rush? Maybe a screen.
Screen.
Catch one ball, kid.
Yep.
And you're in the mix.
I could see it. And with his speed, I can see Josh McDaniels trying to get the ball in his hands in a situation like that. I do like the Ramondre Stevenson one, too, because, again, going back to the pass rush that the Seattle Seahawks do bring with four guys, they don't do a lot of blitzing. I mean, it's four guys, and it's going to be left side of the offensive line. You know, I could see them sending him over there, a little chip block, a little fall away, and just drop it off to one of those two running backs. So I like the over for Ramondre Stevenson, and I like what Mike just said about Travion Henderson.
All right, let's get to some weird props here. A couple of weird ones for you. The national anthem length sang by either Charlie Puth or Charlie Puth. I don't know how to pronounce his name.
Who the hell is this guy?
I have no idea. The over-under, 119.5 seconds, so just under 2 minutes. What do you think?
I don't even know who the hell Charlie Puth
is. Me neither.
Eddie, you rocking some Charlie Puth on the way to the secret parking space in there? What do you got?
Never heard of him.
Okay. I listen, if years passed, it's like if they would throw Aretha up there, you knew she was going to go for 4.5 minutes. You had a shot. Who the hell's Charlie Puth? Give me the under.
You know, all I can tell you is that Charlie Puth is still very active in music, and his latest album, Whatever's Clever, dropped earlier this month, March 6th, for you guys that didn't know that. So all over this.
Boomer's a disc jockey now.
Seacrest over here.
I can see Home of the Brave being dragged out, so I'm going to say over.
All right, Gatorade dump color. Now I got a little additional information here. You got orange at plus 220, yellow, lime, or green at plus 260, blue at plus 260, purple at plus 800, red or pink at plus 1100, and water at plus 12. Now, the last time the Seahawks won the Super Bowl, it was orange Gatorade. The last two times the Eagles won the Super Bowl, including last year, they stuck with lime Gatorade. So, do you think the trend continues at plus 220, guys, for orange?
Well, it's the best flavor. So, look, first of all, if you are betting this, I encourage you to seek help. Give me the orange. It's a popular flavor. Like, you got to go with the odds. Who's filling the jugs with purple or pink Gatorade? I don't even know if that exists.
You know what? I'm going old school. Yellow or lemon lime green. That's the original Gatorade, and that's what I'm going with.
That's from the glass bottle era. Come on, you remember when Gatorade was in glass bottles.
Well, of course
you're old
I do
enough.
Because, you know, listen, I'm old enough to actually have drank it from, you know, glass bottles.
Same. It tasted better.
Yes. I'm going to roll with blue.
Blue.
Plus 260, lots of value.
Okay.
All right, let me offer you Nona's Prop Bet Special. Now, I know I took some slander. I don't like the tone Scones was offering me there. Let me just lay this out. This is going to pay you. This is not like Boomer's mystery box. Who knows what it pays? This pays plus 9,500. So, tasty. This is the pinwheel parlay. Seattle on the money line. Just win the game. You're going to buy 3 points on the under 49.5. Give you 7 touchdown protection. Here's Scone's favorite. A.J. Barner, anytime TD, plus 250. And what we call a non-correlated parlay within it. I'm going to take Booty under 3 catches, but over 40 yards.
Wow.
Why? He doesn't catch a lot of passes, but what he does catch, he's a vertical player. So it's non-correlated. He's got to have one big catch for us. Plus 9,500. Thumbs up or thumbs down, fellas?
I like it. I do like it. You put a lot of time and effort in it. I'll give you that.
Well, Scones hates the Barner pick.
No. You know why I like it is because it's consistent with the way you think the game's going to go. So, I hate people that put in these large parlays when you think, the Patriots will blow them out, because then your parlay makes no sense.
Right.
I think it's consistent with the way you think the game's going to go. I think your wild card's going to be that Booty over 40 yards. I think that'll be your wild card. I could see Barner getting that touchdown. Definitely see that.
All right, I just want to make sure. All right, so now let's get to our official picks. Side and total. Wow. Boomer, the floor is yours, brother.
All right, so the floor is mine. You have great defensive head coaches, and you have two offensive coordinators. One is won the Offensive Assistant Coach of the Year award in Josh McDaniels, and you have the other getting a head coaching job after this game is over. So I think something's got to give here, man. I do think both offenses are going to struggle here. I could see a fourth quarter where one team's got to play catch-up. That's why I think that this game is actually going to go over. I think it's going to be a 27-24 game. I'm taking the Patriots to win outright. And with the 4.5, I still think the game is going to be within a field goal one way or the other. I think it's going to be a tight game just simply because the defenses are going to keep it tight.
All right, we're on opposite sides. I know Seattle is favorite, and I know that's where the public is, but I just think they are an exponentially better football team, more battle-tested, more answers to the test. And look, I know I am not a Sam Darnold fan in the way Boomer is, and I know I've slandered him. He's playing good football. And what he did against the Rams ends the narrative of him never showing up in a big spot. And I just think New England's going to have a real hard time scoring. When you can't block it up, it just makes it impossible to have a great day. So I'm going to go Seattle. I'll lay the 4.5, and I'm going to go under 49.5. And with that, people, season is in the books. Just a special shout out to Booms. Eddie, congratulations on retirement. I love you, man. You've been so kind to me when I've been in New York doing this show. You're a legend. That Dan Marino jersey will never go out of style. And Scones, nobody works harder. I appreciate you, brother. I love you, man.
Thanks, Boomer. Dude. And I'll also take Seattle, by the way.
Done. And those are the picks, and I didn't hit the imaging. Boomer, enjoy watching the game alone. Yeah. And that is year 4 of our show. Appreciate you guys. Kickoff with Boomer and Valenti.
It's Kickoff with Boomer and Valenti.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.